Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me is the wonderful and hilarious and musically talented Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I would say he's a giant amongst men, but he's actually more of a jack. Because he once played Jack in Into the Woods, is what I found
out. The giants in the sky.
We were just singing Into the Woods together before we started this. So sorry, everybody. Sorry you had to be part of that. But guess what? Yeah. Happens.
Okay? It's really an homage to Bernadette Peters, who received an Emmy nomination this week. Did you know that?
No. For what?
Just her own category. They just invented it. They were like, and the award for best Bernadette Peters goes to, once again, the best Bernadette Peters.
Bernadette Peters. The award for the best usage of a wig long term is Bernadette Peters. Literally has the same wig every day for 90 years. Like, she that woman has outlasted Lisa Rinna.
And the award for doing the witch's rap at a McDonald's goes to Bernadette Peters. Bernadette Peters. Tried to order some greens.
Greens, nothing but greens. Parsley, peppers, cabbages, and celery, asparagus, and watercress, and fiddle prints, and lettuce. He said, all right. But it wasn't quiet because I got them in the autumn in my garden one night. Mm-hmm.
Like, ma'am, we don't sell any of those things. You just want fries? Sure. I think she got an Emmy nomination for Zoe's Incredible Playlist, maybe as a guest actress, I think.
Wow.
Yeah,
she's in a lot of stuff, Bernadette.
We also didn't talk about the fact that Below Deck and Selling Sunset got Emmy nominations for Unstructured Reality Show, which was huge. You know, I've always said that Roni should get some sort of Emmy love. And if it can't be a Housewives, I think Below Deck getting a full-fledged Emmy thing is really cool. And Selling Sunset, that's really cool. Basically, it's the reality shows that straight people have decided are like okay to watch.
You're right. Like,
you know?
You're right, yes.
Like basically, if there's like bros out there, they're like, actually, I kind of like that show. Whenever you talk to a guy, a straight guy, this is not an anti-straight guy rant, but it's just a fact. And whenever you talk to a straight guy, if they watch reality TV, they're always like, actually, I watched that show on the yacht. I'm like, Below Deck. Yeah, with like Captain Sandy and Malia and Jack. And it's like, you know everything about it. Stop acting like you don't.
Yeah. So it's Below Deck Regular Flavor that got the nomination?
It actually was Below Deck Regular Flavor. Selling Sunset. I think RuPaul was in competition. There's some others. There's LeBron James's show is in there. I forget the others off the top of my head, but the ones
that I don't know. I do have to say Selling Sunset, though. I mean, we love it.
I support it 100%. It's a great show. It's actually really well made.
I mean, all right.
Nothing happens on it, and they make it compelling. We are sitting watching a girl in an office say, how do you spell coot? Coot.
Yeah.
Top Chef also got a nomination, and our dear friends, Pat McGill and Tom are nominated for Best Reality TV Host.
Mm.
So,
well, good for everybody. That's
good for everyone.
I say congratulations, Bernadette.
Congratulations. Congratulations to also anyone who is watching this on Crappets On Demand. You're getting quite an episode today. Ron is putting on chapstick. I've got some mess on my floor. This is Crappens On Demand. So if you want to watch us, then go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens and you get to watch this. You get the full experience of this recap because today we are talking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, yes. And Speaking of Emmys, which we no longer are, so this is a little late, but this is Erica Jane's big Emmy nomination episode, where she's really going to town trying to convince us that she knows nothing, she knew nothing, she's a total victim, and guess what? She's a much better actress than I've ever given her credit for, because even I was like...
I felt bad. Yeah.
I mean, I felt bad because even if it's like when you watch a lot of murder shows, okay? And I'm not comparing anything Tom and Erica did to actual murder, but I just watch a lot of those shows, a lot of mystery shows, and they make it to where the bad guy is kind of the one that you understand by the end just because you've seen them the whole movie or whatever, and they're crying and you're like, oh my God. And then you have to remind yourself, that's the murderer, Ron, that you're crying for. You know, it's like they trick you by making you cry for the wrong people. And I feel like that. I'll just be honest. By the end of that scene where she's like sobbing in the park, mascara. I was like, am I buying this? And then I had to think of it. I had to think of it overnight, and then I got inflamed all over again. And I was like, no, ma'am. You will not get me, ma'am. You will not get me.
You know I'm such a sucker for that stuff. Like, you know I'm the most gullible person. I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, this Ted Bundy guy... He confessed to killing these people, but I don't know. I'm not sure it was him anymore.
Like, I have an uncle named Ted, and I love him, and he wouldn't kill anybody. So I mean, Ted Bundy must not have.
There's that movie called Ted. I mean, I don't know.
He's a teddy bear. He's a literal teddy bear who says the F word. I mean, what is cuter than that?
Yeah, I'm such a pushover. It's so sad. But yeah, this is the big Erica episode. So, but before we get to the Erica episode, the Erica part, we still have to deal with some old news here, which is, or old business, which is the case of Crystal and her leather pants.
And the ugly leather pants. So Sutton has just said, jealous of what? Your ugly leather pants. And stormed off. And Kyle's just going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. She just said ugly pants. She just said ugly leather pants. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
And Crystal's like, Sutton, come here for a second. And Lisa's like, sit down, Sutton. Sit down. Harry Hamlin made this bench. She made it for body weight. Sit down in the body weight bench.
Cut to Crystal sitting alone, just laughing. She's like, what the hell? Who are these people, you know? So Erica and Rinna have Sutton. And Erica's like, it's okay, baby. Breathe. Just breathe. Just breathe.
Like my good friend Faith Hill says, just breathe. Just breathe.
So Sutton calms down a little bit. And she's like, I did not handle that. Okay. It's okay. So Crystal is the only one not with the group, and a waiter comes up and is like, can I get you something to drink? She's like, I think someone else probably needs a drink right about now, but I'm fine, thanks.
Yeah. So Sutton comes over, back over. She goes, I'm sorry. You know what? That was wrong of me, okay? That was wrong of me. I think they were pleather pants, not leather pants. And she tells us that.
So Garcelle comes up to Crystal and she's like, Garcelle, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm a little shocked about all of this. She's like, oh, you know, you just came down smiling. But look, I'm always going to be honest with you. You know, from one tasteful leather skirt to a pair of tasteless leather pants, I'll just say this. Listen to the blue fur on my sleeves when I say it was the word violated. I think that threw people for a loop.
Yeah. And Crystal's like, well, that's the word I use. I'm not going to take back the word. I used it correctly. She crossed the line. And Garcelle's like, I think that Crystal needs to bend a little bit, you know, to be like, hey, you know, like, I felt violated, but I understand what there's no bad intention. But Crystal has no intention of doing that whatsoever.
Yes. So Rinna's like, can we just go sit down now and have a cocktail? We can share feelings. Feelings about Harry's bolognese. Okay.
From Positano. So Erica's now sitting with Crystal, and she's like, okay, you can't egg her on, but what you can do is throw some eggs at her. Oh, God, it's hilarious watching Sutton avoid eggs. Oh, do that.
And Kathy's like, okay, we're going to need everybody to sit down. we're going to need everybody to please take their seats. And so we hear someone ordering hot toddies over there. There's toddies. Like a whole round of hot toddies coming out now because Erica is a disease, okay, that spreads. She spreads from one housewife to another.
Needs to be hot toddied away, I guess. So the girls all gather around on this orange bench and Sun's like, Crystal, I apologize for talking badly about your pants. I think they're very cute, actually. And Dorit's like, well, you know, when you insult someone's outfit, that's below the belt. And see, that was a play on words, belt, because talk about pants, which are literally below the belts.
So Erica's like, listen, not everybody likes what everybody wears, all right? I mean, something's worn some questionable shit. Which is true. She's currently wearing some questionable shit. Which is why this is hilarious.
Sun often looks like she walked outside covered in Elmer's glue and there was a windstorm and everything in the street just sort of swept up onto her and just stayed.
She does. She looks like the sale aisle of a Michaels, you know? So Kyle's like, you know what? Hate to start trouble because I know we don't want to bring this up again. But Sutton was uncomfortable and in tears and wanted to leave. Can we talk about that again? Oh, can I have a hot violated, please? Can I have a hot violated?
Hot violated.
That would be great.
Hot violated. Crystal says, well, did something I say trigger it? And Sutton goes, no, just your presence.
She's like, okay, my presence. Yeah. Yeah, okay, my presence. So Sutton says, guys, it's hard for me to like be here and be with you because you make judgments about me without even knowing me. And she's like, well, you know that line when someone shows you who they are, believe them. That's all, okay? You got a problem with it? Call Maya Angelou, okay? Ring up heaven and call Maya Angelou because this is not my deal. This is not my problem. It's yours.
And Sutton goes, why are you constantly mean? And Crystal says, you know what? You're upset because you want me to apologize for something that you did. And I will not. I will not apologize for your actions. And so Sutton's like, get your finger out of the air.
She goes, you are an inappropriate, awkward person, period. And everyone's like, like she just said something about somebody's pants. They're like, oh!
Dorit's eyes flare like, inappropriate, awkward person is about as correct of an assessment of Sutton as can be.
Yeah. And Crystal's like, oh, and then you want to cry and get empathy? Sorry, you're not going to get it. Trust me. She goes, okay, number one, I'm not crying to get empathy. I was crying because I wanted to leave. Well, then leave, Crystal. Then leave.
It's obnoxious. And Garcelle's like, okay, put on your big girl panties. And Kathy goes, the high-waisted ones. Those look really good. Put those
on. Could you just tell her what you need so we can move on? She goes, you have hurt me in a lot of ways. Manic. It's a bit much. She goes, okay, it was. Kind of going to need that one retracted. She goes, no, I'm not taking that one back.
Yeah, she just smirks. No, I'm not going to. No. Because I was halfway to saying that you're like manic panic. I will not be referred to as some temporary hair dye. I shall not. That has to be taken back too, please.
Well, I think manic was offensive because she had confessed to you that her father had committed suicide.
And he was manic, honey. Now, look, this is me, down to earth, Erica, so I'm going to wink at you while I stand up for someone. Look at that. Would this person know anything about robberies or stealing?
And so they're on. Listen, I'm so sick of this. It's like the one who cries the loudest is supposed to be the one apologized to. It's old. This shit was already dropped, setting. Okay, it's already over. You're the one re-sobbing about it because you forgot to bring a damn gift. Okay.
Yeah.
Crazy exactly. White that's lady screaming that's and crying.
That's why she is deranged right now. So Crystal says, okay, I take back that you're manic and I'm sorry that you feel bad that I said it. Everybody goes, don't say it unless you believe it. Just the way I believe that we're in Positano, Garcelle.
Yeah. You know, this is definitely going to be, this is going to be going in the apology, non-apology Hall of Fame. Okay, miss, I don't remember a single thing, Rinna, okay? Yes. I'm sorry if everybody here remembers me saying Kim is near death.
I have no idea. Should I say that? I don't remember. Sorry.
I don't remember saying that.
Sorry.
Listen, I applaud Crystal because the non-apology apology, while infuriating for all of us and for the cast members, that's the mark of a real housewife. So congratulations, Crystal. You've done your apology.
It's also something they've all worked through again. So to put her, you know, under fire again at another group event, to ruin another group event with your sobby little tears when you guys have already solved this is not cool. It's not fair. So I'm Team Crystal firmly in this argument.
I am Team Crystal too. And even though, let's not forget, because some people are sort of conflating these two issues, the answer is yes. Crystal did give this thing a lot of life initially when she said she didn't want it. She said, oh, I'm not going to talk about it. And then she talked about it to every single person. But then it was put to bed. And it was actually Kyle who brought it back. And now it's Sutton who is keeping it alive. Crystal has put it to bed.
It's been put to bed twice. It was put to bed at the election party thing and in front of everybody. And then it was put together to bed again at the hotel party where they got together for afternoon tea or whatever the fuck that was. Like every episode it's put to bed. Leave it in bed.
But you know what, though? I also don't want to hear people saying I'm so sick of the storyline because people cannot stop talking about it online. So you know what? Clearly
it's crazy.
People are into this, even though no one wants to admit they're into this. Like, oh, this is just a fight about opening the door. But literally, everyone is trying to.
You all go literally crazy. It's hilarious. So Ben posted this Instagram of Crystal just smiling, like with a big goofy smile on her face. Yeah. And the background keeps changing to like miserable things. It's like war. And she's still smiling. And like,
I'm just having fun. Because I just paused the TV in like a random spot. And she just looked crazy. And like, and how appropriate that the caption I used was Matt. Of all the words to use, I said, I was like, here's Crystal looking manic. And then now, of course, it's an argument about manic.
Oh my God. People are still fighting on that thread. It's like days and days later. And people are still going crazy about, like, well, you knock on the door. Well, I shouldn't have to knock on the door on a girl's trip. I mean, this is the crazy, the craziest shit. And it really is like old days of Housewives where these were the fights that people were going nuts over on the internet, and I'd like to say thank you because this is like classic days of Housewives, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the feeling.
Yeah, well, because these are fights that are actually, as much as everyone says that they're sick of them, they're like deeply relatable because we've all had the fight over some petty shit where someone walked in on us or something like that, or something akin to it, where it's like, actually, you should have followed this social grace. No, but like you shouldn't have been so sensitive just because it's only a social grace and da 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 da. And now we're all in it, and people are going crazy on it. And Crystal herself even commented. What did she say? She was basically like, Rob is
a very lucky man or something. And then people comment to her like, fuck you, dumb bitch. Why are you such a dumb bitch? It's like, come on, guys. Jeez.
I think it's great to have a very strong opinion on this, but I don't think, like, is this the hill that you want to, like, die on with your trolldom? Like, is this how you want to, you're like, you know what, today I decided I'm going to be a troll and I'm going to troll about Crystal being upset that someone walked in on her naked. Fuck you, you entitled bitch. You entitled bitch. Oh, that felt good. I was waiting for the right moment.
I mean, listen, we're not even throwing stones because that's literally what we do all day long. So, yeah, I mean, we're still talking about it too. Hello. But, wow. It's crazy. Yeah, it's a funny fight.
The internet is funny. Okay.
So Kathy's like, well, we don't want to ever feel like we're pushing someone over the edge. You know, like, first of all, Kathy, you're the fucker who keeps bringing this up. So don't sit there acting like, what? We should be nice to the crazy lady, which is basically what she's saying when she starts it every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. We never want to feel like we're pushing someone over the edge. Unless, of course, that person decides to produce a television show based on your family, at which point you then ice them out of the entire all group situations. That's okay then.
And then Kathy goes, yeah, that's really mixed up. And Kyle goes, you mean messed up? My sister is hilarious, isn't she? She got mixed up and messed up. We're doing an Instagram live about this tonight.
Yeah, Kyle is totally, like, now that Kathy is so popular, Kyle is firmly, like, latching on to being like, totally. This is my sister. She's my sister.
Totally Instagram fan vampiring off of her sister. You know, just like she has her entire life off of her sisters. There's Kyle just, like, lapping up any glory she can get off of Kathy.
So anyway, so Rena says, okay, everyone, stay in the moment. Move on. And Sonny goes, and lock your door. And then everything winds up all right. They just wind up sort of... Sun says she's happy to move on. And I mean, it's going to come
back. Yeah, Ben's laughing, which is fun. Yeah, so hopefully we're finally done with this. And so it does feel like a nice sigh of relief. Like, finally we're done with this.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So 4 days later, and we know it's very sad because it doesn't have this music. Boom, 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 boom. It's just like 4 days later. Ooh, Lisa Vanderpump lurking on a sidewalk. What could this possibly be about?
Lisa Vanderpump manipulated coronavirus to go into Kyle and Dorit's lungs.
Rena and Kyle are FaceTiming. And Crystal, too. And Kyle's like, you know, I'm positive. You got my text. Dorit has it also. So Kathy, Dorit, and Kyle all tested positive for the vid.
Yeah. So Kyle is like, of course, Kyle's already a hypochondriac like I am. And she's saying, you know how like when you don't feel good and you're emotional, I just feel so depressed. And they're all looking at her like, But meanwhile, you know, this was just footage from a time when she got a hangnail. And they just said, like, this works. This works for right now, too.
I think some of this episode, Lisa Rinna like had to do something or wasn't available. And they're like, OK, Lisa, you can record at a different time. Just sit there on your webcam doing this.
It's terrible. That is awful. You don't deserve this.
And then they just spliced it into everybody else's scenes.
Also, Kyle, get your own Zoom account. Stop using Mauricio's. You're like a famous person. You're a famous person who is like attached to the Hiltons, okay? And you own half the like real estate here or real estate listings in Los Angeles. You can get your own Zoom account, Kyle.
So then we see silence, or we hear silence, and we see the silent town, and then a jogger walking past jogging past an empty park bench. It's December 2nd.
Ooh, my
second
dad's birthday.
Week Ooh. Into quarantine. Ooh, my sister's birthday is on the Capitol, whatever they call that, the insurrection or whatever. Oh. That was my sister's birthday dinner. That was fun. So it's very sad, and Garcelle are on FaceTime now, and Garcelle's like, well, have you been on social media or anything? Something broke out today about her and Tom being sued, and she's like, wow, this is even on Fox News. This is huge.
Garcelle's like, it's everywhere. Just want America to know I did not get this from Fox News. I don't read Fox News, Sutton.
So we cut back to Rena, and Rena's like, they're saying Tom embezzled money from victims of a plane crash. And seeing Erica's name involved in that, it is, you didn't deserve this. Shocking. You didn't deserve
Shocking.
This.
And Dorit says, I'll let you do the Dorit thing. Since
these headlines make me cringe harder than PK did that time I told him a cucumber was a Snickers bar. Vomit all over the Givenchy shower curtain. Widows, orphans, that's a punch in the gut.
And then Sun says, is this the tip of the iceberg? I don't know. I wanted to know more, but the iceberg was behind the door and I was afraid to open it.
So Kyle tells us, I have no idea what's true or not, but I have to keep an open mind and say, innocent until proven Lucy apple juice, because I'm going based on the person I know. And you know what? At least she didn't call Radar Online about it.
I know. All of a sudden, Kyle is... all of a sudden,
innocent
Kyle is
until proven guilty.
Of jurisprudence.
All
of a sudden,
yeah.
Yes, just how she extended that to Lisa Vanderpump and to Denise Richards.
Yep.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yep. So then 2 days later, Erica, Kyle, and Rena are now talking. And Erica's doing the Princess's Long Island thing where she's like sitting right on her bed. So her background's the headboard. And she's like,
Look at me in jogging pants. People who haven't done anything wear jogging pants, ladies.
Yeah. When you live in basically a cement igloo, you just gotta wear jogging pants. So the things that are being said, they're just wrong. people are believing them, and it's terrible, and I'm here by myself in this teeny tiny little shack with a pool and an outdoor area and three bedrooms, and I'm here by myself, and people are saying my divorce is a sham. No one cares about the facts anymore. The fax machine, that is. I took that.
So I'm supposed to be hiding assets now? And Rinna goes, I mean, how do you even do that? How do you hide assets?
Really? You, being from Beverly Hills, you don't understand how frozen assets work and hiding assets and community versus personal property work? Really? None of you have ever heard of this. Mm-hmm. In Beverly Hills, probably the divorce capital of the world. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll follow you on this, guys. Okay.
I don't believe the divorce is a sham at all, to be honest. I really don't. I think that you think it is?
Oh, yeah, 100%, because it happened right when all of this started going down. So she's trying to get all of her stuff separated from the business stuff, right?
Right.
So she says, we're getting divorced, and this is my personal property. It's not Tom's personal property. But then Tom supposedly put $20 million into her business accounts. She's separating that and saying, this is not property that can be seized because it's my personal property and we're in the middle of a divorce, so you can't seize my stuff in his business. You see?
Although the judge last week said, actually, yes. But
well, the judge said that they can start looking for assets because she wasn't turning over any of her records. Like, they kept the bankruptcy lawyers are requesting her records and trying to follow the money trail through her accounts, and she was just refusing. And she filed a motion saying she shouldn't have to do any of that because they're getting divorced. And then they said, no, you profited from it. So, and your name is on all these documents and blah, blah, blah. See, so now they have permission to at least look through all that stuff.
See, I guess my angle was more like she married Tom. It was all about Tom. Tom had the money. That seemed like the whole basis of their relationship was the money. She basically says as much. Like she can't say anything. Everything's about him, and really, he's just there to fund her money. At a certain point, whatever the relationship was when they got married, at some point, that relationship just became about the money. And then, like, when it was clear that the money was about to go away, she's like, fuck this. I'm not sticking around anymore. So that's why I was like, I don't think it's a sham, because I think she just realized if there's, like, literally no upside anymore and I'm about to lose everything, then, yeah, fuck, I'm getting out of this thing.
Well, I'm sure that that's part of it, too. It could be a little
bit of both. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's part of it too. But I think that Tom's helping her. I mean, I think that they're hiding assets because I think Tom is like, well, I'm fucked. You know, put this money in your... It's not like he just accidentally put $20 million into her under a loan or whatever. You know, so I think Tom's probably like, here, take that. You be safe over there and I'll get, you know, screwed or whatever, because he's screwed. Like, there's nothing he's gonna do. Yeah. And I want to also say that as judgy as I get about Erica, it's because Erica's on this show. Tom is the fucking criminal here, you know. Yeah. I don't think that Erica is like literally going to orphans.
She's
and like
a
taking
Macbeth.
Money out of there.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think, now that's a possibility that she is, where she's like, oh, what, they're gonna try and take our money for this lawsuit? Well, fuck that, Tom, you better get a loan and cover this shit. Nah. Yeah. And it is possible that all that. You know, like, I get there's different angles, but right now I'm just saying it just looks pretty shady.
Yeah, no matter what, it looks shady. I think for me, my issue is more along the lines of I don't know her culpability in this whole mess, but it's just this thing of like, this marriage always seemed questionable, and she would always be like, no, it's not questionable. Like, no, I love him, you know? And now all of a sudden it's like, no, I don't. And it's very, you know, it is like, I understand that too. Like, that's a very real thing in a relationship, that you're almost outwardly projecting that it's good. So that way, you know, cause you're sort of trying to convince yourself that it's good. But I don't know.
But then there's stuff like last season with Denise, when Aaron was, you know, when Erica kept trying to start it up with Aaron again after Aaron had a fit at that barbecue and was such a disrespectful asshole, which he was. But then Erica, when they were at Sutton's store party, and Erica waited for Denise to go to the bathroom or whatever so she could start having the conversation with Aaron, and then they had that whole thing, and she was like, well, I would never let a man talk to me like that. That's bullshit. She's with a man like that, because I would never. No man would ever disrespect me like that.
Right.
Starts
Yeah,
this, that's this. So like, to go TED from that and... in like 1 year to this, which is, you know,
oh, I knew nothing and he was so mean to me.
And that you and like later on when she says,
well, there was a lawsuit, and I said, what's going on? And he said, I'm taking care of it. I said, but what? He goes, Erica, it's none of your business.
And then she was just like, cool with that?
And I cried, and I begged.
And she said something like that, but he wouldn't tell me. It's like, well, you could have Googled, because that's what I did. So, come on.
Well, either way, so Erica's like,
you know, it took a lot of courage to leave. And it takes 2 seconds for some asshole to say it was a sham. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, do not drag us into this.
Don't drag the resident assholes into this.
We're it just has taken us a very long time to call this a sham, okay?
We've based this on several seasons of empirical evidence, okay?
I am working hard to call this a sham, ma'am. I'm on the Google every damn day to call this a sham. And she's like, oh, when I filed this divorce, I was a gold digger. But then this week, I'm a conspirator. It's like, well, both things can be true, Erica, you know. So Kyle asks, well, were you totally in the dark? I mean, what's the situation here? And she's like, you have to remember that it's the firm they're suing. And then they drag me into the things with the firm.
Because you're taking millions of dollars from the firm.
So the producer's like, how did you first find out about the lawsuit?
I can't answer that.
And then, okay, well, you're not a lawyer. Why are you named in a lawsuit about this legal career? And she goes,
I didn't know I'd be named in a lawsuit that I'm not part of. I don't get it. You know,
I have nothing to do with it.
So Kyle says, well, what's the worst that can happen? And Erica's like, criminal charges. And Brenda goes, but not for you. Not for you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, for her as well. And so Rena's like, well, it could be a criminal investigation. She's like, right, you know, because when you allege something like that, she shrugs. Like, if they allege it, then they might look into it.
Well. And Kyle, who just is there for the good gossip. I mean, that's so what she wants. But she wants to pretend like she actually cares. She goes, does this mean I can't even say it? I can't even say it. But does this mean you're going to... LJ, is this mean you're going pink is the new black, if you will? I can't say it.
She can't bring herself to just say, are we poor, sweetie?
Are you poor? Gonna be a poor friend of mine?
So Erica's like, well, it means a lot of things. It's just fucked up. I've got more lawyers than I can fucking afford.
And Kyle's like, but doesn't he have to pay for the lawyers since this is all his thing? She goes, no, I'm the least of his worried. And he hasn't given me one dime since I walked out that door. So it's all on me. Well, why would he? You left him in the fucking middle of the night and never called him again.
You left him at a 7-Eleven where he was confused and didn't know how to get home. Why would he give you a dime?
What if she did? That would be so amazing.
I would support that.
So she gives us the, you know, to be all on your own and have millions of dollars in lawsuits thrown at you and have the one person who got you here wash his hands of you.
You washed your hands first, ma'am. Okay. So, and I don't blame you really on that. You know, see, this is where I start. I can't just see someone crying. Then I see someone cry because normally on Housewives shows, it's like fake. You know, it's like a Leah cry, like, where it's not real, and I don't fall for it. But when I see real tears, especially coming out of something like Erica, I mean, even I start to kind of feel. So I'm like,
yeah.
All right, well, let's get Tom then.
No, we should get Tom, and she should have gotten out of that marriage a long time ago, a long, long, long time ago. And that's where I'm conflicted, because the pragmatist in me wants to say, like, he treated you like shit. And there was no love in this marriage. It was obvious to anyone who watched the show, and that's why I was always under question. And even though you're only in it for the money, like, don't you have any sort of self-respect? Like, make yourself happy. Like, leave. That's what the pragmatist says. But the realist in me knows that people stay in bad relationships way longer than they ever should, which is why I do feel bad for her, because I think that this is what she's coming to realize in a very sudden, quick time. Like, sometimes you do need just like a catalyst of a federal lawsuit to make you realize, fuck, I stayed too long in this shitty relationship, and now I'm about to actually get dragged down into something I don't want to be because I was like too scared to do anything about it. Which makes me feel
bad
for her.
I don't look at it the same way. I thought we were buddies right now, but then you say all of that and I hear it and I'm like, no, that sounds like bullshit, because she, you know, I'm not saying she the happy relationship. I think it's just putting two things together. Like, is Tom a grumpy old man and rude and probably doesn't let her talk back? Yes, we know that. We've seen that on the show. But it's like Erica kind of sold her soul for all of this. She got what she wanted. And when the money ran out, she was out of there. It's like while all this stuff was happening and lawsuits are coming and it's publicized, it's not like it was a secret to her that he's being sued for misappropriating funds. And she knows he's taking out multi-million dollar loans because she's signing on the loans. And she knows that money's coming into her account. So she knows all this stuff is going on. I don't know if she knows the specific details of who's getting fucked over or all that, but I don't think it was just as, I don't think it's as she's presenting it as like, he was just emotionally not available to me. It's the, it's obviously, I mean, just how everything's happening is just obviously the money. But then I see this, I'm like, but even if she did do that and she's married to an old rich guy who's saying, listen, honey, you know, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. It's a lawsuit. I'm a lawyer. It's normal. Just take this money, put it over there. And you trust that even if he is shady and even if he is stealing from orphans and widows, that he's still going to take care of you and make sure you're okay. So when he keeps saying nothing's going to go wrong, I've taken care of it, and then you realize this fucker hasn't taken care of it at all, it's become this huge, you know, millions upon millions, tens of millions of dollars worth of debt, I'm fucked. That's why I say she stayed too long. I think she just believed Tom for too long that he was taking care of it, and he really didn't. So, yeah. I do think that she stayed in it too long, but I'm coming from more of a financial sense kind of place.
Well, no, she did stay in it. I guess the thing that's also, I guess, sort of frustrating is that she spent a lot of time on this show. Not, like, technically a lot of time, but she's made statements over and over again about, like, yeah, well, I married a guy who was 30 years older than me, and that's great. Oh, yeah, I married. It was great. And it's like, it was never great. It wasn't great at all. And yet you were like, I don't know. I guess it just, it reads as dishonesty, and but maybe there's, like, but I don't know if I should fault her for that, because, you know, she was in a miserable situation. Can I really be mad at her for trying to speak it into truth? I'm very conflicted about this. I don't know where I'm standing. But then I come back to talk my way to sort it out in my brain by talking it out loud, and all I'm doing is talking into circles, and I start getting confused. One thing, and then I disagree with myself as I talk, and probably confuse.
Yeah, as listening. You talk, I remember conversations that we've had in the past seasons where it's kind of sticking up for Erica, where it's like, okay, she's with this older guy, and yeah, I don't get it. I don't want to be with this old grumpy man yelling at me and, you know, acting like a grandpa, but she does, and he really supports her and has given her all this career and this opportunity, and she's appreciative of that. And like she said in the past, how she had a son and she was just this waitress trying to make it, and he believed in her, and he puts, and then you see him at all the concerts and his eyes just gleaming because he's so proud, which she mentions later on in this episode. And it's like, okay, but I have kind of believed that all these years and thought, well, okay, it's a non-traditional relationship, but like, who's going to judge that? I'm sure she does love that he's got zillions of dollars, and I'm sure he does love that she's just some young, hot piece of ass in a way, but they've made it work into this actual relationship that stays together forever. So the full-on throwing him under the bus, that's where I get a little like, I get that Tom's a huge criminal and I'm throwing him under the bus, well, I think, but he like, should
be full-on throwing under the bus.
Well, we should, but with her, I'm like,
I think that she should too, because if he's being a dick, and she always put up with these dick things because he supported her, and then he stops even supporting her, and then on top of that gets her into all this shit where now she has the two of us sitting here on our podcast weighing in on a situation that we don't even have any firsthand knowledge of. Like, that does suck. So fuck Tom, and she should be pissed at him, and that's where I've decided I am right today, that she should be pissed at Tom. And her culpability in the situation, I'm not sure, but where I do get angry, and I do maintain this, what I don't like is her playing this like, oh, woe is me and my tiny little shack. That I do not like. Okay. That's right. Not right. That's, you're not in a tiny shack, okay? You just stop that.
Right.
I guess I want her to own her shit more. I think that's the thing. I think where I get frustrated is that so much of the persona that she has developed, and so much of how she talks and the things she talks about in her TED Talks and her her emoji thing, whatever it was, is like, just own your shit. Everything to everyone. Just own your shit. Just own your shit. And I'm not saying own your shit because you're a criminal. I'm saying, you know, you were actually in a bad marriage. And like, if you were in it, if you're just hanging in there just for the money, own that. It's literally Rinna. I'm turning into Rinna. But for real, if you're going to act like you're someone who's saying, just like, be who you are and be what you're all about, then be about the fact that you, like, you were in it for the money with them in the marriage. And the money ran out and you were duped and you were betrayed and you said, fuck it. And so now you've like taken what you can. You have a nice house in Hancock Park, but don't start doing the, oh, I'm in my own little shack or whatever. Just, it feels inauthentic. And I think that coupled with the sense that she does self-produce and she only gives us dribs and drabs makes it seem like she's calculating. Whether or not she is, we don't know, but it gives that sense. And when we feel like someone's calculating, we react angrily.
Yes. Okay, so five. So Erica ends this. Rinna's like, we know you didn't do this. We know you, Erica. We know you. And Erica's like, I didn't do this. And so then 5 days later, Erica is sweeping. So I was like, really? So now you're giving her a scene from fucking Les Mis, okay?
There is a castle on a cloud.
There is a castle in Pasadena.
Look at me. And I'm in Hancock Park now. How dare you? Look at me.
It's a hard knock life. There's
I don't know the rest of the lyrics. I was hoping you just.
For us.
For us. I thought it's a hard knock life this
for
life.
For Christ's sake.
Listen, okay, just, so. I'll stick with Into the Woods, okay?
Well, this. She. You know, but then she.
Ronnie does not accept, does not approve.
I do approve of agony being used right now. No, I'm just kidding. So one way that Erica is super relatable is she's sweeping outside and she's like, this is a never-ending fucking project. Yeah, because you're sweeping the outside, okay? I've never understood that. Never, since I was a little kid. And then just to really, really bring it home. Bring him home. Then to really bring it home, we see her like fiddling with a laundry machine door. She's like,
oh, look at me. I've got a washing machine, too.
Wow, they don't make refrigerators like they used to. It's like, that's a washing machine.
So Erica, you're not supposed to squat inside the door.
Well, does anyone understand how to turn this oven on? It's your front door. It's a space on the other side. So Rinna comes over with croissants.
The customary Rinna, like, greeting pastry. And Crystal joins, too. And Erica's like,
well, welcome to my unfinished little bungalow. The house is very small. You can't have to crouch because you're going to hit your head on the ceiling. It's basically a crawl space with a bed inside of it. It's like, no, it's not, Erica.
And Crystal goes, it's not small. Finally, yeah. Thank you.
And she goes, girl. Like, please. Also, I like that the huge dog comes over and, like, leans. Like, that's the dog's thing, where it just comes over to you and leans on you, which I think is so funny. So he's leaning on Erica, and she's like,
is he getting on your nerves? Because I can crate him. Stop leaning on everybody.
It's like,
Well, this says. House is so shabby, this dog actually supports one of the roofs. It's a load-bearing dog.
So let's see here. They go outside and Brenda's like, oh my god, the pool! I love the pool. Have I talked about loving the pool? I love it! I love the pool! I love that pool.
So meanwhile, they start drinking some champagne and chatting, and then meanwhile over at Kyle's. So Kyle is cleared, but she's still being careful. So she's up on a balcony and Garcelle is down at the bottom of the balcony. And in a very Into the Woods moment, Garcelle's like, Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. No, not your bangs, the rest of your hair. Thank you.
Kyle just does the splits instead. She's got to have one trick. She's got to have even the hair or the splits ready at all moments.
COVID just left her. COVID's like, I'm so sick of being in these splits. We're just going to leave.
I love Garcelle's version of compliment. She goes, wow, you look really good considering.
Considering it's a low angle and you had COVID. And are those bangs back?
So let's see. She's like, well, we're Romeo and Juliet now. Although I'm not drinking poison for her.
So then Kyle, this is such a Kyle moment. So basically Mauricio and the kids all got, they went to Palm Springs because they didn't want to get it. I'm like, I understand quarantining away from mom, but like literally you could like go to the hotel or something. They like bye Kyle, hope you survive. So she, of course, Kyle turns this into a way to reflect on her career as a thespian, and she goes, it's so ironic to me that on Little House on the Prairie there was an episode called Quarantine where I had scarlet fever and I was in isolation. Like, there's nothing ironic about that. That's like me saying, that's so ironic that one time I said the word quarantine and then later on we all were in quarantine.
Yeah, you know, I was sick in that episode and I was stuck at home all the time. And then something hit me in the head and I had to fix my nose. Wait, I'm sorry. That was the film I was just in. Okay. I had scarlet fever and then I was asked to go get somebody a bag of blood. I'm sorry. That was ER. God. IMDb is so muddled. COVID, get my IMDb straight.
I have so many memories of Michael Landon throwing shoes at my face and I had to get so many nose jobs. And then they show this footage of Kyle just like lying there in bed, like little child actor Kyle with scarlet fever, be like, no, pa, no hot water, pa. It's like the most Kyle, like,
God,
the best footage ever.
So then Erica and Rena are talking, and I'm sorry, we're still in the same scene, right?
Yeah, no,
oh, no, we're back to forth. Erica and Rena. Yeah, sorry, I had a COVID moment myself. So Erica's like, I'm not good. I called my psychiatrist. It's so painful when you read things about the suit that says my divorce is a sham to hide assets. I mean, look at this. Do I look like I'm hiding assets? No, it looks like you're spending motherfucking assets in your $10,000
with your like outdoor seating area. That's just like a basic. It's like this gorgeous converted garage with, you know, beautiful furniture, etc., which I know admittedly
it looks
came
like
with
you
it,
are but... living off of assets. That's what it looks like you're doing, man.
I know, it's like, how about you get a one bedroom apartment in my old building? How about that? That's what I'll believe that you're being frugal. Okay,
so Rena tries to explain the public outcry by saying, well, it makes, you know what, it makes you feel better if the person that you put up on a pedestal is really a piece of shit, is really stealing from orphans and widows.
I'm like, you guys are the ones that ran Lisa Vanderpump off the show, okay? For pretty much the same mentality, right?
And Crystal's like, but why do you want people want that? She goes,
because there's a sadistic streak in everybody, honey.
And then she tells us, people think Erica Jane brought down Tom Girardi. Tom Girardi brought down Tom Girardi. And I don't want his actions to absolutely kill what I've created. And I get that, you know? Yeah. I'm making fun of it, but I get it. And she's like, I just hope this isn't the end for me. And she says, you know, those who know you know that you never had to deal with anything like this. Then, of course, it's easy to believe, you know, unless you really know me, which I pride myself on the fact that nobody actually does. But still, for the sake of today's scene, ladies.
And so Garcelle, you know, it's clear that Garcelle is suspicious, but she's trying to be nice about it. So she tells
Garcelle
Kyle,
has a Google. Okay, yeah. That's what I'm going to say about this. Garcelle seems to be the only one who actually put this into Google and read.
I know. So, she's the only one who's not. They all put it into Google, but she's the only one who's not afraid that the audience will turn on her if she doesn't support Erica. Because, you know, again, as we always say, this cast always totally gets it wrong on where the audience will be in terms of who they're going to go after and who they're going to support. So Garcelle's like, well, every day it's something more. I mean, horrible allegations. I mean, to think that people passed away, right?
And
people
Kyle's died. Like, well,
has anyone said anything? Are we going to talk about this? People died? Anyone? Anything?
And Kyle's like, well, she said it's really hard and that she didn't do these things. And Garcelle goes, oh, so she actually said those things to you? Garcelle's like writing in a notebook because, you know, she's got a show. So then back to Crystal and them. Crystal's like, well, this stuff that's coming out, did you know about this? She goes, no idea, which is bullshit. I don't believe that for a second. And she's saying, and I ask myself, what else is coming?
And Rena goes, hey, yeah, no idea, none. And Crystal goes, well, it seems like you have a good head on your shoulders, which is the sort of thing you say when you're like, I don't know what else to say. This is a terrible situation. You're probably in trouble. And I have got nothing else to add except either it seems like you have a good head on your shoulders or my husband did The Lion King. And I'm going to go with the first one.
Yeah. It's basically like saying, wow, if I were you, I'd be on the bathroom floor putting lipstick all over my face. Okay? You'd be pulling a Wild at Heart right now. You seem great. You're out of bed. Look at you.
So Garcelle's like, well, it's unbelievable. I mean, makes you go, is this the same person we knew? Does anyone want to give me any sort of like mild social cue that we both think this is crazy? Anyone? Or am I just going to have to keep tiptoeing around this?
No, nope, I'm not going to do that at all. Not going to do it at all. So, you know, just knowing her as long as I do, this just doesn't, it doesn't ring true to me.
Garcelle's like, well, I mean, yeah, I guess you've known her a lot longer than me, obviously. She's like, you see Garcelle doing the addition, like, how long has Kyle known this woman? Why is she going this hard for this woman?
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, Garcelle's basically saying, Garcelle's really good when they give her a line that they want her to use in the trailer. One thing I know is that husbands can have secrets that wives don't know about. Coming up next on Garcelle Says Things in a sentence, no, in a tone.
Garcelle gives free commercials to the Oxygen Network. Kyle's like, you know, and Kyle basically echoes what you were saying earlier, that she doesn't think it's a sham because maybe Erica had heard this stuff was coming down the pike and thought, hey, I'm not going to be sticking around for this. This is crazy.
Who would? Right? Who? I mean, if you truly loved your man, then yes. But if it's more of like an arrangement and a shitty ass marriage and the guy's a grumpy old asshole, yeah, of course you're going to get out of there. Of course.
So Garcelle says, well, maybe Tom didn't do these things, you know, but I don't think that Erica knew. Yeah. And then it's her oxygen line. And so Kyle's like, you know, obviously when you're married to someone, you just trust them. And then you spend years together and you just keep on trusting them. And Garcelle says, blindly sometimes, this Sunday.
So then we go back to Erica, who tells Crystal,
I'm going to give you a lesson, Crystal. I entered my marriage at 28 years old, and the power balance was like this. So please, look at your bank accounts. Look at your bank accounts.
And Ann Renes talks about how, like, a lot of women in Beverly Hills don't, you know, they don't make the money, and they don't know where the money is. They don't look at the money, but how she makes money, and that she and Harry have separate bank accounts. So I know where the bodies are buried, and I find those bodies, and I'm like, would you like to meet Scott Disick? No? Okay.
Can we use you as compost? Harry likes to garden. And, you know, Rinna does have a very different relationship because Crystal is saying, you know, I mean, I look at like living expenses or whatever, but the finances, that freaks me out. And Rinna's like, yeah, you need to know what's going on. And so, let's see. Erica's so like,
then in 22 years later, when things don't end up great.
Well, then she says, there was nothing I could have done differently because I kept asking and was continually shut out. I'm like, that should be more of the lesson, which is that if you are in a marriage and you're asking for information and your partner is not being upfront, you gotta leave him. I'm sorry. That's not built on trust and love right there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay.
But this stuff that she's talking about, when she says 2 years ago when I was called out in a lawsuit in Arizona, he was like, don't worry about it. I didn't do anything. Yeah, well, she was called out. She was named in the lawsuit because that's a lawsuit that says Tom has been misappropriating funds that was supposed to go to these victims. I think this was the burn crash victims because 2 years previous to that was the carousel in Carson victims. I mean, there's a lot that's been publicized. So when you're actually named in a lawsuit, you don't Google yourself and look what the press is saying about you and the lawsuit, because it said that Tom was misappropriating these funds and spending them all on Erica's lifestyle and glam and clothes and private planes and all this other stuff, which is why she was named in the lawsuit. So to be like, I had no idea because I was shut out. Well, you see that's being publicized when you Google yourself. So you know you're being sued for misappropriated funds. So to act like you don't know anything now that he was misappropriating funds to give to you to afford your lifestyle, which you have not changed since that point, is just silly. It's just silly to think that she has no idea.
I think the deniability is like the self-deniability is like very high, and like, or the self-denial, I should say, is very high. I think it's probably, you know, it's. You know, you've built up this, you've gone around telling everyone how great your relationship is, and you've said, this is your life, this is your fabulous life, it's been very well publicized, and you build this house of cards, and it's really hard. It's really hard, I think, to to have a good hard look and say, this is all bullshit. I need to like fix this. And I think that she put her head in the sand. I think that's what happened.
Oh man, you are such a good, you're a really nice guy. And I don't say that in a condescending way. You really are a nice guy.
Done that. I'm just saying I can understand why someone could have sort of like this.
Yeah, because she's spending the money. Because she's spending the money. She's being accused of misappropriating client funds and funneling it to her. Her name is in the lawsuit, and she still goes on spending that money and taking a $20 million loan into her company when she knows that he's been doing this.
Right, I'm saying like, I'm saying she has the it seems like she had some sort of cognitive dissonance, and like the logical thing was she would have gotten the hell out of there, but said she kept on participating, and now like she wants us to feel bad. And I feel bad that she was in that state. I'm like, Crystal, I feel bad that you feel bad, but ultimately she should have gotten out of that earlier. So so now we go to Rinna's house for a scene that felt very much like an online extra. I'm like, do we stumble into Secrets Revealed? What is this scene? Her like on the phone for way too long with Delilah and Eyal.
A fame whore. Oh my God. This guy's perfect for this family. Jeez.
He is such a douchebag. You never watched Love Island season 4.
No.
If you watch Love Island season 4, oh my God. He's the sort of guy who thinks he's really deep. He'll be like, you know what I noticed that sometimes coffee cups, sometimes the white, sometimes the black, it just makes you realize there's so many different varieties of things, you know. And he's like, shut up, Eyal, please.
You can just see he's such a fame whore because they're FaceTiming, and so Delilah's like, hi mom, and he's like, hello, like has his head right in the picture to make sure he's on the Bravo. Fuck off.
He is a douche, and someone would tell him off or a girl would tell him off on Love Island or break up with him, he would have such a hissy fit. Like, he is like a total narcissist, and Delilah is definitely going to have her hands full. But then I was surprised. I could not believe that they wound up together because Amelia was watching Love Island. I can't believe Amelia watched Love Island and was like, oh, this guy, Eyal, oh my God, we totally have to set Delilah up with him.
She's awful. With Scott Disick. Like, how could you be surprised? Amelia finds Scott Disick charming, okay? So that's where we're coming from. And Rinna is like the mother hen fame whore because she is like trying to be all, aren't women crazy? Don't mind them, a famous person. Just keep my daughter around. She's like, you know these girls, I mean, half the time they're crazy and the other half they're on their periods. Good luck with that.
Oh my God. And then we get a tour of all these dresses, but I was barely paying attention because I was just still so mad about Eyal. Oh God, he's the worst. He really is. Speaking of
so Love this Island, is basically Rinna. Yeah,
and I'm excited, that's all.
No, I'm old man Ronnie. Whenever the previews for that come on, I just start screaming.
British Love Island.
Go to school. Why don't you go to school?
Love Island. The first episode, there was this girl named Liberty. She goes, my name's Liberty, and I work at a chicken restaurant.
Why are you doing this to me? Liberty from the chicken restaurant. I can't.
Speaking of craziness, we then go over to Kathy, who is in her backyard or her back terrace, calling for her dog, going, oh, oh, oh. I'm Kathy, and I work at a chicken restaurant.
And I love that her dog is named Sue. Like, Sue, come here. Oh, oh, oh. Okay, please don't howl in Beverly Hills, because you know what's around there? Coyotes.
I know. My friend's parents' dog just got eaten.
They howl. Okay, yeah, it's like you're calling them to eat little Sue, okay? Can you give Sue a fighting chance?
Well, also, you have to be careful because when you howl, sometimes Kyle shows up instead because that's what happens. Kyle arrives. She's like, I heard my name. And Kathy's made all sorts of like Christmas wreaths that she's put on the table. And they all have like little dolls in them, which are like very strange and terrifying.
Yeah. And Kyle says, they look like Baby Jane. This is demented. She goes, you know I love that, Kyle. Well, this family would fucking love that. So Kathy is talking about her little wreaths, and she's like, I'll just do my fantasies, you know? I'm always coming up with something. Like, I can always see angels, or soldiers, or teddy bears, crystal fruit, vintage snowman.
Molars.
Sue's head eaten off by a coyote and her body's on the other side of the reef. That could actually happen.
So Kyle's depressed because COVID is getting to her. Which, by the way, it's funny because, what was it? It was earlier this week I was saying how Robin was depressed on Potomac, and I was saying this is one of the more real things. So Kyle's actually going through a real thing here where she's just depressed and...
I'll feel for it when it's Robin, okay? Not with Kyle.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just saying it was a real thing. And she was saying, she's like, oh, I don't know if I could like do a good job as a mom right now. You know, she's like really hung up on her status as a good mom. Because remember last season, she was like, are you mommy shaming? Are you mommy shaming?
Yeah.
So she's like, I just feel like I can't do anything with Portia. And like, she can't do anything. She can't go anywhere. And I've always prided myself on being a good mom. And like, that's my thing. It's like my favorite thing. And like, I don't want to see my child not at her best. And like, Portia missed classes because she slept through her alarms. And then she slept through classes. I'm like, Kyle, get in there with like a bucket of water. Get in there.
Well, we find out that what she's really afraid of is that she hears everyone talking about how their kids are so excited for this to end so they can get back out there and see their friends, and Portia's not. Like, Portia's totally happy just being at home, not seeing anybody. And you know, that's okay too. Not everybody needs to like grow up to try and run the rat race of Beverly Hills, you know. I actually think that shows that you've actually got some well-adjusted mothering skills as well. So don't worry, Kyle. And yes, you did just hear me say very nice things to Kyle. Okay. Wow. So let's just move on before I get uncomfortable.
If I were Portia, I'd want to get out of that house just because of all the pink neon on the foyer, you know? no, but I thought it was a very real thing. I actually felt bad for Kyle. I felt like it was a real thing. And I like that Kyle's upset that Portia's putting on long fingernails. She's like, she's putting on long fingernails. Like, I want to be friends with Faye Resnick. I don't want to raise Faye Resnick.
Yeah, I mean, she's just doing all this stuff because she's bored. I'm like, you're on your ninth face. Okay, can we please not fingernail judge the girl? Jeez. So then they start talking about Erica, and she says, you know, she's really not good, and she's saying that these headlines aren't true, and she can't even defend herself because it's a court case. And Kathy goes, you know, at the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing. At the end of the day, life is a poker game. And everyone's got to show their cards. Kyle says, Kathy, shut up. Also, that's not how poker works anyway.
Yeah. That's like when you fold, you literally never have to show your cards. Yes. And if anyone knows how to fold, it's people on this cast. Okay, so now we go to Sutton's house, where she's got a new pup named Waylon. Wonder if named after Waylon Jennings. And Rinna shows up. And Waylon the dog has, by the way, gorgeous, gorgeous puppy, has broken some crown molding. So they're like afraid because Kyle will be so mad. And then we finally meet one of Sutton's daughters, Porter, who is a freshman in college. And Sutton and Porter she's a girly girl. She's very quiet and she's majoring in history and French. Two things that'll get her very far in this world. History and French.
This is so Southern, isn't it? It's like, here's my daughter. She takes French and history and basically we're just waiting to marry her off. Like, doesn't it sound like that? Yes. I mean, come on. She's like, she loves music. She's got a beautiful voice. She plays piano. A mother's dream and a husband's gift. It's like, what the fuck?
She loves to play cards in the parlor. Her favorite dance is the Lindy Hop.
What she really loves doing is sewing buttons on vests for her husband.
She's working on how to make tea and putting jam on bread.
Mm-hmm. So she talks about how she's been texting with Dorit, and then we see Dorit on the balcony going, it's so bad! It's bad, Rinna! And Rinna's like, not seeing your kids must be torture. She goes, well, I see Jaggy's on the other side of the door saying, Mummy, give me COVID, Mummy! I want it! I just want to be with you, Mummy!
Jaggy's not saying that. Jaggy's like, can I have a fruit snack?
I mean, that's so cute. I actually could see the kids being like, we just want to see you. So
Porter, they all go out to the backyard to have some, you know, whatever, the food, drinks, whatever.
In my house.
You just hear Kyle from across the hill.
It's a little bit less of my house because you broke off some of the crown molding. That'll be $5,000. So supporter has joined Kappa Kappa Gamma. Of course, she's joined Kappa Kappa Gamma. It's like the most, like, exactly what you'd expect. And
is it?
And it's like, what'd you say?
Is it? Is it like a total priss?
It's, well, I'm not going to say it's priss, but it's definitely like the girls with the pearl necklaces. So
the real kind, the actual
the
kind,
real pearl necklaces. So we're just like, I was Kappa Kappa Gamma for a term. Ah, I missed out on some good keggers. Ah, I should have stayed. And
yeah, because didn't she say she was only there for like 5 minutes and then left? And Sutton's like, well, that must be a very smart group if my beautiful, talented, lovely Porter is in the same sorority as Lisa Rinna. So you are changing that sorority immediately.
Yeah, and she's like, Porter's like, yeah, we're called Kappa Kappa Geniuses. I was like, okay, Porter, I'm trying to really embrace you. Please.
You're not making it easy, Porter. So Rinna talks about how, oh, you know, it used to be the cool girls. And Sutton says, well, you have beauties, Lisa Rinna, so you know how to keep them away from the boys. And just kidding, Lisa Rinna. And Porter's like, yeah, my mom does. She's really strict. And she goes, yeah, she's not allowed to have lip fillers. She's only supposed to call adults Mr. and Mrs. Curfews. She's not allowed to see her boys. You know, I don't know why I was talking like that. She's not allowed to have lip fillers or call adults Mr. or Mrs. Like, it suddenly took me into Southern charm. I'm sorry. I got a triggered detour.
Also, fuck Matul. We didn't even talk about that. Matul cheated on Naomi, and that's not cool at all, Matul. Fuck,
yeah,
Matul.
Fuck you, dude. Let's yeah, bring that Naomi guy's a back piece of shit. So, that guy's a piece of shit, which we called.
You, honestly,
right when we saw him in his first scene. Yeah, I called his ass out.
You called, and I was like, no, I think Matul's really good. I had bad judgment on that one.
Yeah, douchebag.
So Sutton's like, well, they're gonna stay little as long as they can, and they're gonna play Uno with me on a Saturday night, and I like it. Okay, so anyway,
so she goes, well, you know, you have young children, Lisa Rinna, so you know, Porter, maybe we could have a play date. You know, you could meet Rinna's kids. And Porter's like, I mean, Mom, a play date? We're adults now. And Rinna says, well, your birthday is May 4th, so you are a not model. Is that your astrological sign? Okay, May 4th, not famous person. Oh, I'm sorry. May 4th, muggle. You're a muggle. That's your astrological sign. I don't think my girls will like that.
I am so excited for the future HBO Max limited series about the Hamlin daughters just corrupting Porter. That is happening. That is happening.
Because doesn't it sound awkward? Yeah. She's like, well, I'm a Taurus. She goes, well, my kid is a Gemini. And it's kind of awkward. Like, basically, my girls are the astrological signs that don't eat carbs, and you're a potato, okay? Your astrological sign is a potato, so not hanging out with my girls.
We're going to find you someone from Love Island, too. Don't you worry, because everyone from Keeping Up with the Kardashians is taken. Unless, do you like Tristan Thompson?
Okay, so basically, that's an awkward scene. So then we go to, they start talking about Erica. And Sutton's like, so, Erica, that's some grown-up business. She goes, yeah, you know, I just don't know what we're dealing with yet with her. And Sutton says, I don't know the facts, so I'm not going to make a judgment until I know the facts. And Rinna goes, well, why would you?
Huh? Oh, yeah. And then we start seeing the lines. Say anything without having the facts on this show. Why would you ever?
Mm-hmm. And we start seeing the lines being drawn in the sand here. We've got Rinna, Kyle, and Dorit. Well, maybe not Dorit, but so far Kyle and Rinna, who are just not going to ask anything and just go with whatever you say, right? And then we've got Sutton and Garcelle, who are like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now Erica and Kyle meet up at a park, and they remove their masks, and Erica's like, girl. And so she's like sad. So Kyle's favorite thing to do is to try to sad up someone, meaning that if someone's sad, she wants to show she's sad too. So like literally, if you come out of Schindler's List and you're crying, and Kyle sees you, she's like, "Oh my god, I feel so bad that you're crying because you saw Schindler's List. It's like, Kyle, you weren't even in the movie theater. Go back to eating your ice cream outside the movie theater.
I just want to be there for you.
And oh my God, they can't hug. I can't give you a hug right now.
Yeah, and Erica's really freaking out. Like, she's really sobbing and crying. This is where I started to feel kind of bad. And then I woke up and wouldn't let myself anymore. But, you know, I did feel it for a second. So she says, you know, she can't say anything. She could never have predicted this shit ever. Ever, Kyle. I could never have predicted this shit ever. And Kyle's like, I'm not used to seeing you like this. Can I get some sympathy for having to see Erica like this?
So Erica's like, this is so odd. I've never been this overwhelmed. It's like walking into my shoe closet without having a gay to say, yes, I love your shoes. It's hard. My hands are literally tired. I never could have predicted this.
So then we get a monologue from Erica.
I never ever predicted that this would happen. It's not coming out. No, I don't even care anymore, Kyle. There's nothing I can do but wait to tell my side of the story.
Okay, so I'm just going to read it because who needs to hear it, this whole thing in that voice? The feeling of not knowing and then these huge things being alleged and just having to defend yourself. It's a lonely place to be. Okay, I'm feeling for her for all that because this does have to suck, you know? Guilty or not, everyone's turned against you. You're a pariah. Everybody hates you. All your friends who you thought were your friends are no longer your friends unless they're being paid. Like on this show.
Are you God, Kyle? Pump, I'm getting lost in the sauce here.
My divorce is not a sham. It's just not. Nobody wants to be in this position. Being the possible target of a federal criminal investigation
is uncool.
And to have all those things about you said, and then to have everyone basically question everything, it's lonely and quiet, and you'd be shocked how quickly people turn on you and distance themselves from you. They were there when it's good. You want to know who your friends are? Go broke. Go to jail. Bury a body. And I was like, whoa.
I was like, wait a second, maybe you shouldn't be buying your friends. How about you don't become friends with your glam squad? Also,
how about you don't base your entire personality on how much money you married into? Like, how loaded your husband is and how you fly private everywhere? Like, give me a fucking break, lady.
Maybe people are also, like, turning their backs not because, oh, they're not getting handouts from you anymore. Maybe it's because there is a criminal case and they don't want to be like when she says that, like, oh, they don't want to be dragged in. I'm like, you're saying that like that's a totally irrational response for someone.
Right.
It's like, yes, exactly.
Right. This isn't just a case of she's kind of conflating the whole like a rich lady who gets divorced and then no one in Hollywood will talk to her again, you know, which is true. It's a trope and it's true. She's comparing that to like widows and orphans. Robbing widows and orphans, like literally.
Exactly. And also, we've never seen her friends beyond Mikey and her glam squad. So, like, are we, like, it's hard for us to feel bad about the friend she's losing if she's never even shared her friends with us.
Right. So, Kyle's like, have you talked to him? And she said,
no, Kyle. He's a very proud man. And, you know, I left because of the resistance to a conversation. I mean, the resistance to you can't see well, or the resistance to you can't hear well. You're degrading in front of me and you're ignoring it.
Okay, now this is where I was like, you are such, you know, I almost fell for your bullshit, Erica. And now here you are on national TV trying to lend credence to his bullshit mental, what he's trying to say, that he's mentally unstable because of Alzheimer's. Dementia. Whatever, right.
Yeah.
So now she's here. Like, this is why I think that she's in cahoots, because now she is here cahoots. Trying to like get it into evidence that he's, you know, got actual physical mental problems, which.
Yeah.
Mm-mm,
and no, she's man. Like,
too many convenient things coming to the head at the same time here.
So she says, I'm sorry to unload. And Kyle says, no, well, that's what friends are for. When you talk about friends leaving at the wrong time, I'm not that friend. I'm the friend who's going to sit here and gather all the gossip and tell all the other girls. And then that elevates my position in the circle. That's the friend I am.
And Erica's like, you have your own things, Kyle. She's like, I don't care, Erica. I mean, you checked on me and worried about me. I just only want to ask you questions that are already out there. She's like, oh my God. Okay, go ahead. Like, what the fuck am I going to do? Just say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And so, she's like, well, is because this is when the news was breaking that Tom was asking the court for Erica to pay his or her legal bills and also pay him alimony.
Yeah. Which, and she's like,
First of all, how? He's always made more money than I have. He knows everything. He's concerned with himself first. And so
But the reason he's asking for alimony is because of that $20 million loan. So if they diverted this $20 million into Erica's company and they freeze all of his assets, he's asking for alimony from her because he put all that money into her accounts, right? So that's how I'm thinking of it. Is that true? I don't know. That's just how I'm piecing it together.
Go ahead, Ben. Go ahead.
So, so she says,
I can't believe I'm about to say this, so everyone take in this mascara to you going down my cheek for a moment. Okay, I'm going to say it. As much as Tom encouraged me, I think he resented me every step I took forward. For instance, when I wrote that song, Shallow, in the shallows, I can't believe he resented me all that time. And then I was on SNL. And then I won a Grammy for Best New Artist. They said, congratulations, Ali, you won Best New Artist. And then he was resenting me the whole time. Who would have thought this would have ever happened?
Yeah, she says that he basically was like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Of course that would happen. And he resented her. That's literally, there's a reason why that movie has been remade a billion times, because it's like the age-old story. Of course he would resent you.
I mean, I have no idea. So Kyle's like, well, he's angry that you left, so I guess this is your punishment. And she's like, he's there to punish me all the way to the ground. And Kyle says, he's no angel. And she says, yeah, but people don't know that because they only see this husband who's out there campaigning for his wife. But at home, it's not so great. And so I guess I am one of those people who says, like, it doesn't look like it's so great. But yeah, like I said before, you see him out there so excited at the concerts that he's basically paying to make happen and bragging about her all the time. And that skit on Saturday, the sketch, I can't believe I called it a skit. That sketch on SNL, wow, which was funny. About Erica, which is, I take my comedy seriously, man. I take improv very seriously. But that sketch was based on a real event. Did you know that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The sketch on SNL that was about Erica and Tom. Oh. When she was all excited that she was in a sketch on SNL that they were making fun of her. That's from an actual account of someone being like, yeah, and then Tom would have these parties with all his lawyer friends, and then he'd be like, and now Erica to perform for us.
Yeah.
I read that somewhere that was a real thing. I just thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
So, pat my puss
like a big lawyer party.
Hilarious. So now Erica feels bad because he's in a place where he's in his own personal hell and she can't help him.
She's like, I cannot help him.
And Kyle's like, that must feel horrible. I'm like, thanks, Kyle. You always thought you were going to be there for him till the end. That must feel horrible, Erica. That must feel horrible, Erica. Is it horrible, Erica? You want to cry some more?
It's like, Kyle, shut up.
Yeah, Kyle's like, I remember you saying you'd be there till the very end.
Yeah, this is the end. It was supposed to end with him dying very, very quickly by Christmas, okay? But now this is the end.
And Kyle's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, you know, it's just torture to see someone just fucking melt. Talking about Tom and I presume his mental state.
Guess we'll have to wait to find out more on this sordid saga.
But here's my last note. I wrote, ugh, I hate that I have compassion. Well, you know what? That's what a good night's sleep will do to you, because that shit was gone by the time we recorded this.
You know what's so funny? I just almost don't have energy to decide whether or not I have compassion. I'm like, I feel like I have much more distinct views on Crystal's door than I do on this, because it's just, I don't know enough. I don't know enough, and I'm torn between wanting to sort of go off of certain instincts or to be like, well, it should have been like this. Oh, those widows and orphans, and like part of me doesn't know if I'm just being a crazy internet person. Or I just don't know. I don't know, so I'm just going to...
Well, I just know what I read, because I love this shit. You know, I love this shit. I love when it's something I can go research on the internet and try and get my case all together and be like, this is what happened, because I read an article from 2017. You know, this is the shit I get nerdy over. But yeah, at the end of the day, no one really knows. We're just going to have to wait and see. At the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing.
At the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing.
And that's all you can
nothing.
Say for the life of the poor. It's struggle. It's war. Well, Miz has made it in here a lot today.
Get to the bottom of it. He will. E is for embezzlement. and Erica Jane. So, wow. Well, this will continue to unfold. We'd love to hear what people think of the situation. You can comment on our Instagram. But, you know.
Do it. Do it, guys.
Do it. So that's it for us this week. That's the end of our week. We had a big, exciting week. We'll be back again on Monday with some Potomac. If you didn't hear the Potomac premiere recap, if you don't watch Potomac, no better time to start than right now. So go check that out and listen to our podcast. And remember to subscribe. Follow us on Instagram. And have a very safe weekend. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.